Hey y'all, today we're going to look at the triumphal entry. This is from Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.'" And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So, in the Gospel of Mark, we've now shifted gears dramatically. For the first 10 chapters of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus acts like he is trying to hide. Well, he hides all the time. He tells people not to tell him what he's done. He tries to do many of the more spectacular miracles he does in secret or out of the public view. It's as if he's waging an anti-publicity campaign. And suddenly, when we get to this moment, when Jesus comes across the Mount of Olives and looks down on Jerusalem and proceeds into Jerusalem, he suddenly changes gear and takes the initiative and does this very public display. So he has been preparing to go to the cross, and all of this is leading up to the cross. I'll say it this way, Jesus goes public on his own terms and in his own timing. Remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus says to his mother, "My time has not yet come." Well, Jesus knows his time has come, and he decides to take the lead. One thing I'll point out is that in this section of Scripture, there's this barrage of scriptural quotations and allusions. I count, and I'm sure there's more, just this is on a cursory counting, I count at least 7 quotations or allusions to various passages in the Old Testament. In fact, it is almost as if these references are a tour through the entirety of Scripture and the major groupings of scriptural books to culminate in this moment. And so there's so many things going on here, and I'll refer to some of the major ones. The first is that Jesus crosses the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is to the east. It actually looks down on the city of Jerusalem itself. And it looks down on the temple. It's a spectacular sight today, and it would have been a spectacular sight then. But it's also significant because throughout Scripture, one place is Zechariah 14, it says that God's visitation would come from the east. Right? This is why churches have often been oriented toward the east. So Jesus is coming from the place that Scripture has repeatedly said God would come when he visits his people. This incident with the colt is interesting on many, many levels. First, it says no one has ever sat on it. In the Old Testament, animals designated for a holy purpose, usually for sacrifice, were never to be used for common use. And so this is a reference to that. But then there's all kinds of other biblical allusions to colts. Perhaps the most important one for our purposes is in the book of Genesis. When Jacob is dying, he's blessing his sons, and he goes through all his 12 sons, and he makes a particular prophecy to Judah. It says this in Genesis 49, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Binding his foal to the vine, he has washed his garments in wine, and his vesture in the blood of grapes." This is a prophecy that Judah and a descendant of Judah would bear royal authority in Israel. And of course, this moment is evoking all the way back to Genesis, that prophecy that out of the tribe of Judah would come a king. Of course, David came from that tribe, and then ultimately Jesus comes from that tribe. Jesus tells his two disciples that go to get the colt, if anybody gives you a hard time, say the Lord has need of it. This is a rare reference in Mark to Jesus calling himself the Lord. And it seems as though the possibility is strong that Jesus has visited these people before, their disciples. He knew a lot of people in the area of Bethany and Bethphage. After all, he's been there many times, even though Mark only describes this one visit. And probably Jesus prearranged this. But I would suggest this interesting because these disciples consider their possessions as belonging to the Lord. They're available to him. Oh, Jesus has needs of it? Take it. So there's something neat there about disciples and how they view their possessions. And then this procession itself. Now, this would have been probably a pilgrim day. In other words, there have been lots of Jews from all over Israel journeying to Jerusalem for a festival. Most of those people would have hiked or walked. And when they get to Jerusalem, in fact, all along the way, they're singing, they're celebrating. When they get to Jerusalem itself, and again, you round the top of the hill, the Mount of Olives, and look down, it's a moment of great exuberation. And so there's this celebratory tone, but there's also several other scriptures that are alluded to here. So for example, if you look in 1 Kings chapter 1, Solomon has a very similar procession when David has him anointed as king. He rides on a donkey, crowds go with him. They go by Gihon, which is where Jesus would have passed by this area on the way up to the temple. So we're definitely referring to that. The cloaks and the palms in 2 Kings. There is one king who, when he is crowned, people go before him and lay palms. This is kind of like a red carpet being laid out before the newly anointed king. So there's another reference. We have a king coming. And one other thing I'd say about the Solomon reference is that if you go and look at 1 Kings chapter 1, when Solomon comes to his throne, it's an ominous note for Adonijah, his brother, who has tried to make himself king. It's a moment of judgment, and it's a moment that brings great fear on a lot of people. So that's significant, and that will unfold as the story progresses. And then, of course, they're making these proclamations, Hosanna. All of this comes from Psalm 118. And Psalm 118 is in a sequence of psalms called the Psalms of Ascent, pilgrims to Jerusalem for the three festivals that were that adult men were required to go to. These psalms were always sung on the way. You would sing them. You can kind of think of them like Christmas carols because they're seasonal. But also imagine traveling with a group of men, lots of men, extended family members on your way to Jerusalem and singing these songs. So they're songs of joy. They're psalms of ascent. This is also a royal psalm that celebrates a king who has gone out to battle and been victorious and is returning to Jerusalem. And then finally notice, this is very important, blessed, they speak of the coming of the kingdom of David or the coming of the kingdom of the son of David. Once again, this is a messianic moment. This is a recognition that David is the fulfillment of the, or excuse me, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy to David that a descendant of his would inherit the throne forever. So we have all of these things coming together in this moment. But I want to mention one last reference because it is maybe the most important or sort of the culminating reference. This is going to open up a sequence of judgment. Jesus is coming, and imagine him as a king returning to his home, returning to his palace, returning to his house to make sure that everything has been done according to his will. It's kind of an odd moment at the end, verse 11. He entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Is he touring? Is this just sort of religious tourism? Why does he look around? Well, Jesus is looking around as the master of the house, returning to his house to see if things are in order. And we're going to find in the subsequent scenes in the Gospel of Mark that things are not in order. His house is not doing what he intended his house to do. His fruit tree is not bearing the fruit that he intended it to bear. And so this ends on a very ominous note, the return of the king, culminating in inspection, examination, and ultimately judgment. So may we, his people, live in anticipation of his return one day, when he will judge the living and the dead, and he will judge every man according to the works that he has done in the flesh. Amen.